Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. Everything's been right in line with the blessings of the Lord. Just so you'll know, I'm kind of winging it tonight. These behind me, they see if I've ever got any notes. So I've got a few words to three verses of a song. That's all I've got here. But I just thought it was so fitting to the passage that I want to read to you tonight. Chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Don't you feel that way? The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, hallelujah, and because He would keep the oath which He had met, which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. The songwriter pinned down these words. There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads me as I go. This hand is led through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. I know it will lead me safe to that home where sin no sorrow e'er can come. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story, saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for that unseen hand. There is an unseen hand to me that guides me through this weary land. When some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. There is a mighty hand of God. I think that we see the mighty hand of God because we could say, as the writer said here, you're a special people. He's not set His love upon you because you're greater in number than some other group of people. There's a lot of folks that have greater numbers than the numbers that's in the church today. A lot of folks have more joined their clubs and joined their groups than joined the average church today. It's not that we're the greatest in number. In fact, we're quickly becoming a minority in this nation, and we're definitely a minority around the world now. But I don't have to claim any minority rights. I don't have to have the government go to bat for special privileges for me. I don't have to have them give me any kind of special condolence or recognition, because we might be fewer than number, but we are a special people. He's chosen us and set His love upon us. There is a mighty hand. We cannot always see it, but that hand is there, and it never leaves us. And it's right there behind us. Oftentimes, we see the working power of that hand, but we didn't even realize He was anywhere near. Oh, I'm feeling God tonight. That mighty hand is seen through all of the Bible. You start with creation. Can't you see the hand of God? I know God spoke and it was, but it was also because of His wonder-working hand. A mighty hand that can scoop out the oceans and pile up the mountains and pencil the light through the darkness of the universe. Take the anvil of His Word and strike it against the omnipotence of His power. Catch the sparks from it and fling it into the heavens and name every star. And take the green grass and roll it out like carpet and tack it down with daisies and make the rivers to flow and the birds to sing and the leaves to wave in the sky. Make the sun to stay in the daylight and the moon in the nighttime. There is a mighty hand. There's a mighty hand in the Bible that was there when the children of Israel were brought down to a place of captivity. But one day that hand said, I'm going to make a way and lead you out. And that hand brought them out of place where they were slaves, where they were captive, and the enemy was chasing them. And
and that mighty hand made a way for them to cross over on dry ground. There was a mighty hand that was there when God raised up a servant, even as a baby, and hit him in the bulrushes to make sure he was taken care of. There was a mighty hand in the lion's den that come down and shut up the jaws of the lions not to eat the prophet of God. There was a mighty hand there that day when they were traveling through the wilderness, and they said, "Where shall we eat?" And God, with the wave of his hand, brought in quail in the morning and manna in the morning to meet their every need. Oh, I wish you'd help me preach tonight. There's a mighty hand that was there when Abraham was offering up his only son Isaac, and that mighty hand took a little ram and took it by its thorns and hung it up in the thorn bush and said, "Look, for the Lord hath provided a lamb." There was a mighty hand that was there when they faced enemies all around them. 187,000 Assyrians were killed at one time by the mighty hand of God. Don't tell me your enemies are too big. Your faith is too little. God's hand is greater than anything that you face. And when the unseen hand is there, the unseen hand can do the things that we'll never be able to do ourselves. There was a mighty hand there when God spoke to one man and said, "Go back and rebuild the city that had been torn down. Go back and rebuild the walls that had been destroyed by the enemy." It took a mighty hand of God to do those things. It was a mighty hand of God one day that came down and told the prophet, "Step on board the chariot of fire. I'll take you all the way home to glory." Somebody told me one time, said, "That's ridiculous. If you go through the atmosphere like Elijah went through the atmosphere, you'd freeze to death. Why, you think God sent a chariot of fire to keep him warm on the trip home?" Well, bless the Lord. There is a mighty hand that's there to guide us even in the areas that we cannot see. That hand will never fail us. What a mighty hand. There was a mighty hand 2,000 years ago that stretched out on an old rugged cross. And there on that cross, those hands were nailed to a cross. They weren't nails holding his hands there. It was love that held him there. But that same mighty hand that was nailed to Calvary's cross. Several years ago as a young boy, I was in a pit of sin. And I cried out to God, "Well, bless his sweet name." And there was a hand that came down and picked me up and brought me out of that place of sin. There is a mighty hand. It's unseen, but the hand is still there. What a hand. There is a mighty hand of providence. Aren't you glad you haven't lived your life by chance? I'm not traveling by accident. See, God knew before I ever came into this world what God wanted me to do, and God knew what He wants you to do. You were sanctified for the Lord Jesus while you were in the womb. God had a purpose, a set aside, set apart calling for your life. And nothing happens by accident. It's the hand of God. Unseen, and we don't know it. But it's the providence of God. Providence of God is what took me to a church and took you to a church somewhere, or brought somebody to you with the message of Christ. When you heard the glorious good news that Jesus would take all your sin away, that was the hand of God. Some of you have tried churches everywhere, but suddenly one day you found yourself seated inside the walls of this church. That wasn't an accident. That was the hand of God. It was the hand of God that laid upon my head and laid upon my heart as a 16-year-old boy. And God said, "I want you to go preach the gospel." Well, glory, glory. I'm about to have a holy spell tonight. I felt like I was a teenager. There wasn't anything I could do. But looking back on it, I knew God wanted me to start early because God had a plan for my life. It didn't just happen. Wasn't long till revival started coming in. And God one day opened the door for me to go preach in northern Ohio. Dad started a revival and he couldn't finish. fishing. He asked the pastor, said, would it be all right if my boy comes and closes out the meeting on Saturday night? He said, that'd be great. I drove to Sandusky, Ohio and preached on Saturday night, and there I met the love of my life. And my father-in-law said, most preachers have to worry about somebody coming in and stealing their piano player or running off with the treasure. He said, but here you come and run away with my daughter. I stole her heart and she stole mine. I tell you, it's not an accident that we're together. I believe it's the hand of God. The greatest thing the Lord ever did in my life besides saving my soul was giving me my precious wife. That's the providence of God. Fellas, you ought to reach over tonight. Take your wife by the hand and say, honey, I'm glad God gave you to me. I'd be in a mess if it wasn't for you. Well, where's the shouting at now? Some of you ladies ought to reach over. Say, I could be married to some old drunk somewhere. But instead, God brought you into my life. And God gave us each other. That's the providence of God. Some of you still haven't caught on. Haven't seen a one of you reach over and take him by the hand yet. Aren't you happy for him? Don't you thank God for him? Aren't you glad you're together in church on Sunday night? Your husband or wife sick. You go home and you take them by the hand. Kiss them on the forehead. If they got the flu, don't kiss them on the lip. But kiss them on the forehead. And you say, honey, I thank God that God gave me you. Because I could not do this by myself. Oh, I'm feeling the power of God tonight. It's providence in our life. The hand of God moving at the right time. It's the providence of God that gave us our two precious children. When the doctor said we could have no children, there was an unseen hand. Well, glory that God said, they don't have the final say. I have the final say. And God gave us our children. The devil didn't give it to them. Give it to us. God gave them to us. The devil wants you to think it's always an accident. But no, it's the hand of God. You thank God for your kids? You tell them you thank God for them? I wish you'd quit staring at me and help me preach tonight. We'll get through this a lot quicker if you help me out. The providence of God. It was the providence of God that brought us to this church. It was the providence of God that led me out under some oak trees, pin oak trees, about 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with Howard Richards standing there, his hands in his pockets, him fumbling around and me fumbling around. We both felt the same thing. And finally, a little while, he looked at me and said, I don't think I have the authority to do this, but would you pray about coming to our church to pastor? I was 22 years old. What's the matter with you, Howard? I was 22 years old. I didn't know anything about pastoring a church. But I know one thing. When I walked through the doors, this was the place that God wanted us to be. I am as sure as I know my own name. I'm right where God wants me to be tonight. I don't have to come to church and say, Lord, am I where you want me to be tonight? I know I'm right where God wants me. Isn't that sweet to see the providence of God? Glory, glory. The providence of God that led me to take a revival out of Beach Fork. Hold a revival there, and one night the water got out of the banks. And they were shouting and carrying on. While they were shouting and carrying on, this fellow sitting over here that plays the guitar, he looked miserable all week long. When he passed by me, I leaned over and just whispered in his ear, one sentence. Don't be afraid. Do what God wants you to do. I believe it was the providence of God for him to preach, don't you? Oh, you don't think Brian Bear can preach? I believe it's the providence of God that brought him to that place. I believe it's the providence of God that's moved upon these other preachers. Every one of you. I remember the time that God called you to preach. It's the providence of God. Tom, I know it's the providence of God because you were a mess, buddy. You were an absolute mess. And when he come to me and said, Cal, the Lord's calling me to preach. I said, Lord, you sure about that? Then I heard him preach and I said, yes, Lord, you know what you're doing. I don't know about you, but I think he's growing leaps and bounds. It's the providence of God. Look around. Hey, all of our preachers here tonight, stand up. All of our preachers, stand up. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You tell me it's not the providence of God. You tell me it's not the providence of God that we started with one section over here. And when we opened up this section, we were already full. Opened up this section, we were already full. Let me tell you, friend, God's got His hand on us. Well, glory, God hasn't failed us one time. And God's not going to start failing us now. It is the hand of God that has brought us here. And the hand of God will continue to take care of us. There is an unseen hand. It is a hand of plenty. I said it is a hand of plenty. Every one of you, you're to choose what you're going to eat when you eat. Now don't you sit there and tell me what a tough time you've got and how hard it is when you're fat as a bear. Practically every one of us overweight. Do you know what a blessing that is? Do you know how many countries that we work in that little children will go to bed crying tonight without enough food to eat? And their little stomachs will be swollen out from parasites and diseases that can be remedied for $3, $4, and $5 a month. And we sit in a land of plenty where we've got plenty in the refrigerator and our cupboards are full and we can choose what we want to eat and when we want to eat it. I'm telling you, God's got plenty. He's got plenty of grace. Glory to God. Grace to save us and grace left over that we can live on every day. God's got plenty of mercy to change our lives. I think so much about old Mays Jackson that's now in heaven. I've heard him say it 100 times in sermons. He said when he went off to college, said he wasn't saved. And said when he got saved, said when he was in college, he joined a group called the Wolf Pack. Said then he got saved and said, I left the Wolf Pack and joined the Lamb's Club. Well, thank God, there's plenty of grace. Said he had this old heretic teacher that would come along and he said, I'm going to prove to you the Bible's not wrong. That Bible's wrong. Bible's not right. God is false. There's nothing to religion. I'll have you denying your Bible by the time you get out of college. He said, I went through the first semester and at the end of the semester, he said, now anyone got a question? He raised his hand. Yes, Jackson, what is it? He said, let me get this right. You're saying that God doesn't answer prayer. That's exactly right. It's all fake. It's all a myth. There's nothing to none of it. He said, well, sir, I'm not from Chapel Hill. I'm not from Raleigh. Said, I'm from a little place called Flat Gap, just outside of Hendersonville, North Carolina. And he said, up Flat Gap, there's a little shack that sits beside of a gravel road. And inside that shack, I have a little gray-haired mother. And I have seen her time and time again through the Depression years. Go out back to the old coal shed and said she would pray and pray until she'd come back in. Her eyes rolled back in her head. Said she was praying for food on our table. And said she'd come in and say, I've just heard from heaven and it's all right now. In a little while, there'd be a knock on the door and there would be the groceries we needed. He said, sir, I've sat in your class all semester long. Said you haven't even as much as offered me a bologna sandwich. And you're going to try to tell me not to serve a God that fed my family through the Depression. He said, there's a hand that took care of us. And that led Mays Jackson to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. There is a hand that takes care of us and provides plenty for us. More than enough. What are you short on? What do you need? God has it for you. There's a hand of providence. There's a hand of plenty. There's a hand of protection. God's there to fight our battles for us. But we don't know where to turn or what to do. God's there for us. Sometimes you know the enemy's there. You'll feel him all around you. Folks, I'm telling you now, I know what the battle's like. And many of you do too. You know what it's like to wake in the middle of the night and feel down the back of your neck the cold breath of the devil himself. You know what that's like. But also, you know what it's like for God to fight the battle for you. To protect you in your hour of need. Sometimes you fight battles. I'm going to preach a message before long. Donnie, a week or two ago, Donnie gave me a wonderful little pamphlet on battle fatigue. It's from the U.S. Army. Boy, I've read that, Donnie, I've read that thing 10 times since you gave that to me. And you know, sometimes you do get battle fatigue. The best of Christians, you get out of sorts. You get tired. You just get tired of fighting. You fight sin. You fight the devil. Seems like everything's going in the wrong direction. And you battle this and you battle that. And you'll get weary. You'll get fatigued. But all you've got to do is just steal away somewhere and ask the Lord to show you how it all ends. Glory. When He rolls back the curtain of time and you get a glimpse inside the gates of glory, and then you understand there's a mighty hand. And the Bible says in that day, there'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And then God Himself shall dry the tears from our eyes. I wonder, well, bless the Lord. I wonder what it's going to feel like when the mighty hand of God that's been so unseen down here, what it's going to feel like when His hand touches my cheek and dries every tear from my eye. Never to weep anymore over those in sin. Never to weep anymore over lives that have been destroyed. But we can stand on the hills of glory, see the devil cast into the lake of fire and be in the grandstand of glory to raise our hands and say hallelujah to the Lamb that sits on the throne. There is a mighty hand, an unseen hand that God has set His love upon us. And you're a special person. Have you ever faced anything in your life that you couldn't figure a way out of it? And couldn't figure out how you were going to get through it. And then you look back and see what God... what God has done for you. There's a mighty hand. Gypsy Smith was never ordained. One of the greatest lines that he ever wrote was when he said, "No man laid their hand upon my head, but Almighty God laid His hand upon my heart." I want to tell you something, folks. When you feel the touch of God, you know when God touches something. How do you know that, preacher? Well, you don't always see where He's coming from. But if He touches it, He'll leave a fingerprint. And you'll say, "Lord, I know You're the one that did that. You're the only one that could do that." Some of you tonight, you've come to the place where you need that hand of God to touch you. The hand of God to lift you up. The hand of God to bring you out of sin. The hand of God to help you with the decision you have to make. There's still a mighty hand. And where we're weak and where we're limited, God's hand can do anything. Would it be all right with you if I just do this tonight? I was praying about this sermon and I called Denise on spur of the moment. And the first time I ever heard Denise sing this song, she sang it in the choir, helped her with the chorus. It was less than about a month probably, no more than 2 months after we'd come to this church. And during that week, Caleb was born. And everything was fine. So many of you were there at the hospital and we rejoiced. And by the next morning, They had called me. That was before there were cell phones and couldn't get a hold of me. And when I got to the hospital, my dad was waiting at the corner at King's Daughters Hospital and said, "Cal, Caleb's taking a turn for the worse. He stopped breathing in the night and they moved him into intensive care." We didn't know we'd be there for about the next 14 to 16 days. But through all of that, even though Candy was in the hospital and she couldn't be here, it comes Sunday morning. I went up early Sunday morning and she told me, she said, "You go on to church now." And we hadn't been here 2 months. She said, "You go on to church now." And I'll just be honest with you, I didn't want to be here. I loved y'all, but I wanted to be there. But she knew the touch I needed was here. And when we got in service that morning, I don't know who was responsible for it. Probably it's a good thing because nobody can take the credit. Whether it was the choir director, I believe Lena was over the choir at that time, or Brother Howard had asked her to sing. I don't know who was responsible. Maybe Denise just felt led to do it. But she got up and sang a song. And I've asked her to come and sing that song tonight. Because there is a hand. A hand that is there for us no matter what we're facing. And if you need God's hand, His mighty hand to move on your life, while she sings this song tonight, I couldn't think of a better time than right now, a better place than right here for you to come and kneel and pray. Denise, as you come tonight, if you're here tonight and you need God to help you with anything, there is an unseen hand. And you might not always sing, but you'll never feel any greater strength in all of your life than when the unseen hand of God touches you. Let's stand together if you will.